Welcome to episode 192 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlock. You're going to love today's episode. Whenever I do a coaching call, I get so much positive feedback from the listeners. And that is what we are doing today. I am talking with a woman named Jen. Jen has been a longtime member of my Instagram community and a listener here on the podcast. She has been messaging me via DM for literally years now, just little things here and there. And recently she messaged after she saw some posts I had done on my stories. I was sharing progress reviews of the fall round of Fitter After 40. And she's like, wow, she's like, you know, this woman lost 8 pounds in 4 weeks. This person lost 2 pounds. This person lost 4 pounds. She's like, wow, I wish that I was losing 2 pounds in a month. I'm not losing anything. I haven't lost anything in 3 months. And so I said, hey, you want to hop on a Zoom call and we can kind of chat through what you've done, what's working, what's not working, and get to the bottom of it. Why are you not losing weight? And that is exactly what we do today. So if you are somebody and you're struggling to see any progress with your weight loss, even though you're putting in a high degree of effort, this episode is for you. You're going to hear lots of questions that I ask Jen that you can ask yourself. You can examine what is happening with your own eating habits and movement habits and get to the bottom of why your weight loss is not moving along. You ready? Let's do it. It's amazing. Second time's the charm.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I don't use Zoom all the time. We're usually using Teams. And so I forget how bad I am.
Well, it was really cute last time when you came on and I could see you were having a hard time unmuting yourself. And then you finally did it and you actually went to cheer and you went, yay. And then you just disappeared.
I think
it's like disappeared. Yeah.
I touched my earbud and I think like when you, I think it's set up like when you touch the earbud, like it disconnects or I don't know. You I don't know. I'm not touching anything. I'm going to sit here with my hands folded.
Folded in your lap. Well, it's right. Really good to actually chat with you in person. We have been chatting in Instagram DMs for a very long time.
A very long time. It seems like I've known you forever, except that you thought I was Canadian. I'm like, for fuck's sake, I'm Canadian. Well, yeah.
And that's the thing. Until the other day, you had never voice memoed me. And so I think it's because you've just chit-chatted with me back and forth about Jen Gunter and Amanda Thebe. And yep. I end up with
They're so many Canadian
followers from those ladies. And it just, I never really even consciously thought about it. I just somehow assumed you were Canadian until you messaged me back about coming on here. And I heard
you're
your
like,
accent.
Hey, wait a minute.
I was like, she's a Southern Belle.
Right? That's so funny. A Southern Belle. Well, I'm not sure very many people would say that exactly about me either. But you know where I originally found you was from Marcy when you guys were doing your Decades of Strength podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I think I originally hooked up
awesome.
With you.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Jen, tell us a little bit about you for the people listening. Where are you from? Just tell us a little bit about you as a person.
Oh my goodness. Girl, we could be here all day. I've got you.
Give me the elevator pitch.
I know, right? Like this could
hit
be
the highlight.
Right? No. So I'm Jen. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm originally from Kentucky. I have lived in a whole bunch of different places. I have, oh good Lord, I don't even know what's interesting about me. I can't even think of it. So I'm 58. Maybe that's interesting to your audience. I'm 58. I have been in perimenopause since I was in my late 30s.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
I know, right? Talk to me. So yeah, tell me about it.
Tell me about it.
I feel like I should count the days. And let's see. Just talking about that.
What do you like to do for fun?
Like to do for fun? Oh, well, you know, I like to ride my bike.
I knew it. You talk about that bike a lot.
God, I love to ride my bike inside, outside. I have a Peloton.
What do you like about it? Tell me, like, what do you love about that?
So there is something. There are two sides to it, and both of which just speak to me. And the first part is really meditative. There's something about the repetition of, like, you know, the wheels are going round and round, and it helps me focus to keep, when you keep the cadence and you keep the beat. Like, I don't know how to explain that. It's like a moving meditation.
Yeah.
A lot of moving meditation. And the other part of it, it feeds sort of my inner competitor. I am a highly competitive person with myself. I've tried to take it down a notch from, I mean, and I'm not like an athlete with a capital A, you know, I'm out there, not out there like killing 600 mile rides or whatever, but I want to, you know,
yeah,
but I would like to. So I, yeah, it feeds that part of me as well, because I compete against myself, you know, how good can I be? I like to play tennis too. I like to hike. I like to travel. I like to read. You know.
Now, have you ever gone on trips with your bike to like do a bike ride somewhere interesting, like away from your home area? Do you do that?
I have never traveled with my actual bike. We have gone to a lot of places where I would rent a bike and do exactly that. And we actually lived in the Netherlands for a few years. And that is a huge, my husband's Dutch. That's a whole nother conversation we could have. But we lived there for a few years, and yeah, the bike culture there is
yeah, that's a big
amazing.
Deal there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's more like a mode of transportation than it is a,
yeah.
a hobby, you know,
which is so foreign to us in the United States, right? Like very
yeah.
small segment of the population uses a bike to as transportation here.
Well, and let's just be fair, because there's no roads for bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I do feel like if they're, you know, it's like chicken and egg, but they, yeah, until they build it, I don't see it.
Yeah.
But,
you really need that
different culture.
Support. Yeah.
Yep.
So we decided to hop on this call because you messaged me. I mean, we chit chat in the DMs about all kinds of things, but you messaged, I had been sharing like progress reviews from my Fitter After 40 ladies. Mm. And you know, like, oh, this person lost 8 pounds and did this and whatnot. And you messaged her like, hey, like I haven't even been able to lose 2 pounds in a month. You're like, I've been trying and I haven't been able to lose 2 pounds in a month, and it's been months. And so I messaged back and I was like, hey, this is a really common struggle that people have. Like they're trying and they're not seeing results. And I said, why don't we hop on a call if you're game, and we'll kind of pick it apart and see where you're at.
Game on.
And here we are. So Jen, let's start here. How much, like, what was your goal in terms of weight loss? Are you looking to be a certain size? Are you looking for a certain number? Like, what was the goal?
The goal is really more about having my clothes fit better. So like a lot of people, not the whole story, but anyway, last year's story was I gained probably 30 pounds last year. It's a perimenopause thing. It was a hormones thing. Long story short, I ended up having a hysterectomy last fall, about a year ago. And recovered from that, all went great, et cetera, et cetera. I felt so much better. Oh my God, I can't even tell you. So in January, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, yeah. But I was having some real issues. Anyway, so in January comes along and I'm like, hello. Yeah, no, this can't be here. And so I wanted to do sort of more like, I'm not into diets and whatever. So I just, started doing hand portions and sort of the precision nutrition sort of way of life, you know, hand portions and watching when I ate again. I'm a very experienced sort of macro calorie counting, watch what you're eating, do your thing kind of person. And it was a lot slower, I have to tell you, than any other time that I've ever lost weight. But I'm thinking, I'm okay with that. I had so much stress last year. I'm just not going to add to that. It's fine. So I lost about 20 pounds by about July, which,
right. So from January to July, 20 pounds.
Yeah, happening. It was all happening. And then it's like, I want to say the brakes came on. And since July, it's been pretty much, I would call it maintenance, because it's within, say, 2 to 4 pounds. You know, you get up 2, down 3, up 1, up 4, up, you know, but it's around the same thing. And for me, and
you know,
at least
Jen,
in my
I am still listening to you. I have my phone out because I'm pulling up a calculator to do math as we talk.
So, okay.
I'm not texting. So if you see me, because I know you guys don't have video on, but Jen does, I don't want to think I'm on my phone texting, but I want to see what your rate of progress was then. We're talking July. So that's 7 months and you lost 20 pounds. So
I did some math for you, by the way. I can give you my weekly average weight since then.
Okay.
I mean, I did all the math. Yeah. So starting on July 8th.
Yeah. Well, let me just catch you up here though. So, but between January and July, you were losing 2.8 pounds per month.
Yeah.
So almost 3 pounds a month.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
That's very I mean, good. That's that, very no, that's, good.
Right?
That's speed.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, to me, if I lost a pound a week, I would be like, I just feel like that's fantastic. So when people, and I understand it. I mean, other people are in a different place with their weight and stuff than I am. But honestly, when people start complaining about, I thought I've been on this diet for a month and I haven't even lost 10 pounds yet. Who are you people? Stop it.
And you know, their expectations are wildly skewed based on, you know, TV programs like The Biggest Loser, based on people on social media posting like crazy results from crash diets. And so people get like these wide eyes as far as what expectations should be. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that for you, you were like, wow, like this is great progress. No. I'm losing.
Fantastic. So happy. I was awesome. So happy because it's also when you do it the right way. Well, you know this. We've chatted about this. When you do it the right way, I won't say it's effortless, because it's not effortless, right, but it's also not the center of your life, you know, or at least that's the way it is for me.
Yeah.
So, and I have lost significant weight. About 10 years ago, I lost 80 pounds and kept it off until this past year.
That's a lot. So you lost 80 pounds. You've kept it off for a good bunch of years, gained 30 pounds after your surgery, then lost 20 of that in 7 months. Which is a great clip. And then between that time, sometime from July until now, we're at the end of October, you've been stalled in the same couple of pounds.
Right. And so I feel like I did all the things. I did a lot of things that you would do. So for example, I was using mostly hand portions, and I am not perfect, but pretty good, like I said, at estimating. Thank you, Weight Watchers. I have a calculator in my head that does that, whether I want to or not. But I thought, well, I'm going to cut back a little bit, you know, try 50 calories a day or so. Like, just let me see if maybe my calorie level is too high because I lost this 20 pounds. Fine. Nada. And so then I think to myself, maybe I'm eating more than I think that I am, because that happens. Because you know, I forget what I had for breakfast. You ask me what I had for breakfast right now, and I have to go back in time. But still, I'm like, okay, so maybe that happens. So I'm not the best tracker ever, but I took a couple of weeks, and I thought, I'm just going to make myself do it just to see. And no significant difference. So then I think, well, you know, maybe it's the movement. I don't get the daily steps that I should. I started a full-time job back in March for the first time in many, many years. I was a consultant, and I went back to work full-time at the Arthritis Foundation, which I love. And yeah, and so I'm a lot more sedentary than I have been in many years during the day.
That's definitely a place we're going to kind of poke around in here in a bit then. Tell me you said you had figured out like what your average weekly weight was in July and then now. Mm-hmm. So what was your average weekly weight at the end of July?
Well, hang on. Now I have to look at my phone again because I don't keep that in my head. Where is it? Okay. The week of July 8th, my weekly average for that week. And I chose that date because it was after the 4th of July, you know, after some stuff, 152.5 pounds.
Okay.
And my average weekly weight the week of October 15th, whenever that was, because that's when I was like, ah, screw it, was 151.5 pounds.
Got it.
And to me, that's like from July. If it had been to July to August, I would have said, okay. But this, we're talking about July to October.
So let's see how many weeks that is. So we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So 14 weeks, you lost a pound.
Right.
Yes. That is definitely, you're not in a deficit phase.
Something's not right.
First thing for those of you listening, this is the first thing I always want to see. Well, that's not true. The first thing I want to check in with people is, what is the goal and why? We want to make sure that you're really clear on what your goal is. So we covered that. And then we want to really gauge what is the person's progress. Because like Jen and I were talking just a bit ago, sometimes people's expectations are so out of whack that they're actually making fantastic progress and there's nothing to be adjusted except for their expectations. That has happened multiple times in this round of Fitter After 40. I'll have people, you know, messaging in the group that they're feeling like they're failing. And then we start looking at numbers and I'm like, you lost 6 pounds in 4 weeks. Like, we need to talk more about expectations. And so that's a good, so we're checking that box. You made great progress, but from July until now, 14 weeks a pound, that's not what we're looking for. Ideally, if a person has a lot of weight to lose, we can for sure be shooting for 2 pounds a week if a person is, you know, dealing with obesity. If a person is not dealing with that big of a weight loss, a pound a week to a half a pound per week is really good progress. So, and the leaner you get, the more we're definitely going to skew towards that half pound, especially if you've just lost 20 pounds and you don't have, you know, 40 more pounds to lose. Looking to lose about a half a pound per week, which is 2 pounds per month, is really great progress. So a half a pound per week in 14 weeks, we're talking, you know, you could have, if we had you in a proper deficit, lost 7 pounds in that time, you've lost one. So
Don't make me cry.
No, but the point is like, okay, so we can see very clearly not in a deficit. And so now we need to pick apart, why is that? So we're going to talk about your nutrition and we're going to talk about your movement, because that's what it comes down to. Friends who are listening, you will hear lots of things in magazine, books, social media about like, oh, am I not losing weight? And people list all kinds of things. The time of day I'm eating, Is it the amount of carbs I'm eating? Is it my blood sugar spiked, right? People will go like all in and out and say different things, and you can get really lost in the weeds, because when it comes down to it, fat loss is dependent on whether you are in a calorie deficit over a sustained period of time, which comes down to calories in versus calories out. Now, lots of things can impact calories in and lots of things can impact calories out. But those are the places we have to look. How much food are we taking in? How much energy are we putting out? So since you mentioned your movement had changed, let's talk about that a little bit. When you moved to working again and were being more sedentary, that was March. So you were still losing weight at a good clip then from March through July. Mm-hmm. So that makes me think, is movement really the issue? Where it could come into play is now you've lost enough weight. So now you've lost 20 pounds in July. And so maybe your activity level being so low is a place, if we increase that we could get you into a deficit. Do you see what I'm saying?
Maybe. But my exercise activity has been pretty consistent. But my steps have not been very
Do you have a very good handle on pre-March what your steps were and then what they went down to?
No. And I say that because I do try. I mean, goodness, I have an Apple Watch. I'm just not sure where I would go to look at what all of that. I will tell you from my feeling or my thought or my memory, even I have never been a great stepper unless I'm on vacation or unless I'm extremely intentional about it. And one of the frustrating things to me about getting those steps in is mostly because it just feels like another workout to me. That's what it is. It's not because I don't have, especially working, but even before I was working, I don't have the kind of life where, you know, parking your car a little further away or whatever, those things, I don't go anywhere. I don't do that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, what do I do? And so it just feels like, yes, can I get 10,000 steps a day? Of course I can, but I have to be super intentional about that. And it's just another workout. And I'm cycling, you know, doing my Peloton or outside biking 3 to 4 days a week. When tennis season is engaged, I'm playing tennis a couple of times a week. You know, I do take walks on the weekends. It's a lot better, a lot easier. But yeah, it feels like another workout. So it's a mental block. I understand that. I'm throwing it out there, but I know it's a block. So sorry to answer your question. If I get 2,000 steps a day, then that's a great day. Okay. Then I feel like, okay, it wasn't under 1,000. Super.
All right. I will say that's pretty extreme on the low
It's low.
Side. And let's have two conversations here. One, if you're getting 2,000 steps and you're still moving with the bike, I'm a little more comfortable from a health perspective, because from a health perspective, what we know is that people who are more active fare better as far as like living longer, right? We want you to be able to live longer. And so we don't want people to be sedentary. The fact that we know that you are on your Peloton, you're on your bike, so it's likely you're still getting activity on top of that. How many days per week are you doing cycling either outside or on the bike?
3 to 4. And I would, good Lord, I'd do it every day, but my body will not let me do that.
And so on the days where you're not on the bike, for those other 3 to 4 days that you're not on the bike, are you still getting 2,000 or less steps?
Probably, yes.
Okay. I wish I could say something different. No, you don't have to say anything different. So I would say, even from a health perspective, before we've been talking about a weight loss perspective, that is definitely an area to consider up in, because we want you to live a nice, long, healthy life. And we see, I mean, the benefits are just so obvious to us from living longer, living better. It's just associated with so many good health outcomes. Not to mention, this is definitely a place where we can help with your calories out portion. I hear your concern that you're like, it just feels like another workout. I don't have the energy or the desire for another workout. Do you think that there is another way to get steps in? So you talk about like, okay, like I can't park my car farther away because I don't go anywhere. So that's like here on one end. And the other end is I need to set aside 45 minutes to an hour to make it a walking workout. Can you see any other options in between there?
Oh, sure. And I've set myself up for some of those, options. I have a treadmill here at home. I have all the workout stuff here at home. Got all that stuff. So I have a treadmill and I have a walk pad by my desk in my office. So the problem with that I am finding, so I thought this was going to like, this has been like a month ago, that 2 months ago, sorry, that we got this walk pad. And I'm thinking this is going to be the answer to all my problems, because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to stroll. I'm going to be on remote. It's going to be fine. Doesn't work. I still have to be super, super intentional about, I can work and walk, but I can't, if I have to do anything, you know, on the computer, if I have to,
friction there is when you're on the walking pad, it's hard to work on the computer at the same time.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I just have to, I'm actually right now it's under my desk so that I can like, and it's a standing desk, right? It goes up and down.
Right.
And so, like I said, I feel like I set myself up for this. I'm just not doing it. It's just, okay. I can't find the rhythm to it, if that makes sense.
I wonder, are there tasks that you do during the day that you could do on the walking pad that wouldn't feel as difficult? Can you think of any chunks of tasks that you do that you're like, you're listening or that kind of stuff? Is that a particular typical thing? Are you typically working on the computer most of the day?
Well, I'm in meetings a lot, but I'm either working on the computer or most of the time I'm leading those meetings. And so I'm talking, but there is one standing meeting that I do have in the mornings that lasts maybe at minimum, it's usually 30 minutes. And sometimes it's longer than that. And I could walk during that meeting.
Tell me why.
I hadn't really thought about that.
About that meeting?
Because it's just a catch up. It's with a work colleague that's sort of a friend, and she's lovely. And so it's a little bit of, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? So it's not so much like, it's what do you have on your plate and how can I help you? And it's more like that sort of thing than it is like.
And that's daily. You have a daily standing 30 minute meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could be a real in.
Right.
Many, that could be.
I hadn't really thought about that because I'm drinking my coffee.
Okay. Can you imagine drinking your coffee while you're on your walking pad?
No. I know you don't know me that. Yeah, no.
I would get one of these suckers like with a lid. This is where I'm sitting here.
I have them. See, I have them too, even with the straw.
Oh, there you go, with the straw. Okay.
Disaster waiting to happen.
How
there's also an inner competitive part of me that when I'm on the walk pad, I'm like, I'm only going 2 miles an hour. Come on.
It feels like you should go faster.
It feels like it's not enough.
Interesting.
It feels like it's not enough.
Okay. Let's swap places here. I'm going to tell you, Jen, I have a walking pad. It's under my desk. My goal is to get a couple thousand steps in. Like, I don't feel like it's worth it if I can't go faster. What would you advise me?
Actually, I'd probably commiserate. Okay, wait.
I'd be like, Jen, I'm really, really frustrated. Like, I really want to get 2,000 to 3,000 steps in. Like, I have the walking pad. And whenever I go to do it, I'm just like, it's just not worth it because I'll get 2,000 to 3,000 steps in, but it's going to take me 30 minutes. If I could get on my bike or go for a run, I'd be done that in like few minutes. So it's not worth it.
And I know the right answer to this. Ding, 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 ding. The right answer is every little bit counts. It adds up. You're going to spend the 30 minutes anyway. You might as well be doing something than doing nothing. Suck it up, cupcake, is sort of like
not so much suck it up. It's more like what thought can we change in your brain? Like, what is a different thought we can choose? Not like, ugh, I'm just going to suck it up, Jen. But like, what's a different thought we can choose? Because it's new news. And a lot of you are listening. You're like, what do you mean choose my thoughts? I don't choose them. I just have them. And we do have a lot of thoughts. But what we can do is notice unhelpful thoughts and then actively pick a different thought. And so when you have that thought like, ugh, it's so slow, it's not worth it, you could replace it with what you just said. The 30 minutes are going to pass anyway. I can either get on there and get however many slow steps, or I can sit here and get no steps. Like, that could be a helpful thought. Do you see the difference there versus saying just like, suck it up, Jen? Like, you can actually like talk back to the thought that's not helping you.
Indeed. I can see that. The other thing that I have been thinking about is something that you're using in your running program that I hadn't really, it's just a completely different way to think about things, which is to say, how would I approach this if I were the kind of person who loved hopping on my treadmill and doing a 10-minute walk? But what would that person do? Or what would that person say? It's like,
big right now, Jen, because that's exactly what I was doing for myself and what I'm trying to model for people. And I'm super excited that you we never talked about that. I never outright said that, but that's exactly what I'm modeling for people here with this is like, who's the person I would have to be? What are the thoughts I have to think in order to be that person? Because I'm not that person. Look, 8 weeks ago, I was not the person who was like, I'm excited to run on my treadmill today. I was not that person. And so I had to think, well, what might that person think? What might that person do? How might she behave?
Right.
I think that's
something that, and I don't mind telling myself to suck it up because I do that all the time. Me, myself, and I are really comfortable with that language. However, there is something to be said about like not just talking nice to yourself, but just to give yourself a different way to think about things. So I kind of like that. Yeah. So that's something I was thinking about.
And I do agree about being nice, but I don't even feel like this is so much about that as what you've been trying, which is, hey, suck it up, self, isn't working. So we need to try a different approach, right? So let's try a different approach. And so this approach of getting curious, being like, okay, suck it up, buttercup, hasn't been working. What else could I do? Like, okay, maybe I could try getting curious about like, what do I not like about? What could I do to make this more pleasant? For me, that's what it was with running is like, how can I make this pleasant in the short term so that I'm inspired to actually get on this thing? And so thinking like, okay, what could make this pleasant? And frankly, talking to your friend for 30 minutes could make that pass really, really fast. Like, as time goes on, you might actually find like, wow, it feels really good that it's whatever time the meeting ends, 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. And I look down and I've already gotten 1,000 more steps than I usually get in an entire day. And that might feel really motivating once you can make that happen.
No, I think that's a really good one. The other idea is setting a timer. And I did try that for a while, like every hour, like set a 5-minute timer. That just it interrupts my workflow. You know, like if I'm thinking about something and really into it, I, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I still feel like I could be more intentional about taking a break, because I do like get up to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. I get up to get more water, and I get up to get a snack. Yes. And so I am getting up.
What do you think? So first of all, I think if even we just tackled one thing here, as far as from the movement perspective, and had you start trying, like getting curious about this walk time with your friend and see, like, let's see how that goes. Even just doing that could be a big, big first step. But then something else right. to kind of put on the, like, the next step would be like, okay, tried the timer. It's a great idea. I have plenty of clients that works well for. It's not working for you. It's breaking up your workflow. Not ideal. But you just told me like multiple different things that could trigger you to then also do a little walk. Like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And every time I have to go to the bathroom, I'm going to get on the walking pad for 3 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it's going to be.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Afterwards. Not before. We can't do that at our age, right? Or right. What was the other thing you said? Get up and get a drink or something. You could like choose one or two of these as triggers. Like, when this thing naturally happens, then I. And these cues can be really powerful. And after a while, you won't even have to think about it. It'll be like, oh, bathroom break on the step, on the walking pad.
I like it.
3 to 5 minutes, right? So it's like the timer, but it's more natural.
Right. No, I like that. Because I don't wait to go to the bathroom, I tell you that. No.
I'm with you there, Jen. Okay, so from a movement perspective, I feel like we're going to make some headway here. And I do feel like this could
help like it.
With the weight loss. It's definitely going to help from like a health perspective, which is always important. But even with the weight loss piece, it seems like that amount that you've been moving, this 2,000 steps plus the bike riding, was still working in your mm-hmm. favor. When you were still mm-hmm. trying to lose it. But we see now that you've been stuck with your weight. When a person is stuck with their weight, we have a couple of levers we can pull. We can increase movement, we can decrease food, right? And those are kind of the calories in. We can do something with one of those, the other, or both. In your case, I think we're going to do both. Mm-hmm. But I do think it could be a significant jump, even if we get you up to like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 steps a day. Like, that's a pretty significant jump.
So that would be big.
That would be big. So let's see, yeah. Let's see where you go with that.
I'm going to do that.
Awesome. And then let's talk more about nutrition. So mm-hmm. when you think about how you were eating, I know you were measuring mm-hmm. with hand portions. For any of you listening and you're like, I don't know what a precision nutrition using the hand method would be. Precision Nutrition, that's who I got certified with my nutrition. And they have one approach that they use where instead of counting calories, you use your hand to measure your portion. And at each meal, you have a certain, so it's usually, Jen, you just, why don't you tell us, what were you using for your protein, your carbs, and all of that?
So a protein serving is about the size of your hand, mm-hmm. which would, the palm of your hand, sorry.
Not
the palm
with your
of your hand, without your fingers, including the thickness. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like this big of a steak and, you yes. know, it's that and the fat is the portion of your thumb.
Yeah.
And a vegetable is a cupped hand is about a vegetable mm-hmm. size. And a cupped hand is also about a carb size, mm-hmm. About something like that. And so then at each meal, the way you build your meals is you say, okay, well, at each meal, depending on your all the other stuff you might have for a woman my age and et cetera, I might have 2 palms of protein at dinner and 1 palm of protein at lunch and 1 palm of protein at breakfast. And then I want to have 1 thumb of fat at each meal. And then I want to have at least 2 cupped handfuls of vegetables and at least 1 cupped handful of carbs ish. Right. I mean, but it helps me because I can, I don't like weighing my food. I have a scale. I use it on certain things because it's, I don't, peanut butter. Let's talk about peanut butter. It's heartbreaking, yes, heartbreaking it's what a serving true. Of peanut butter looks like. So
I know there's certain people foods are that always mind boggled really, when they actually oh my God. Take just a little bit to measure and they're like, wow. I was 100 wow. calories over what I thought I was
hundreds.
Eating.
I yeah. know. So there's certain things that I do have to measure. But anyway, so I was doing that. And then, like I said, when things started to slow down, I did go back to weighing because then okay. I thought, well, maybe I need to be a little bit more precise and tracking more carefully just to make sure that I wasn't doing those pantry drive-bys. You know how you do.
Yeah.
Because I can do that too. And Yeah, even when I did that, and I also felt like my calorie ranges were very appropriate. That should have put me in a deficit from my experience and with myself, but obviously didn't. So it's either that
Well,
I'm
oh
still
yeah.
eating more than I think I am.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be that because there's nothing, I'm not special. Like, I'm not the only person on the planet who can't lose weight. And you know
Yes.
what I'm saying?
It's
I'm not.
true. Okay, so I'm glad that you recognize. So here's the thing, ladies who are listening. When you have a calorie count, the options are when you know you're not losing weight, the options are either those are not the appropriate calories for you because they're too many, or you're actually eating more than those calories. Those are the two things we can look at, right?
That's
Because
all
like you said,
it
yeah, you're not special. There's nothing broken. I mean, you're a special
Nope.
human, but you're not special as far as this is concerned. There's nothing broken, right? And so tell me this, when you switched from doing the ham portions to calories, what did you set your calories at?
So I use calorie ranges, so I try not to get myself too nailed down
Perfect.
mentally.
I love it.
So I did, this will sound familiar to you as well. I did my goal weight times 10.
Right.
It was my bottom range, and my goal weight times 12 was my top
Great.
range.
And so tell me what those numbers are.
And
Those are perfect.
that would have been 1400 calories on the 10 times 10, because yeah, would I like to weigh 130 pounds again? Yes, I would, but I'm just trying to be reasonable here. It's fine. That will get me where I want to go. So 140 or 1400 calories. And then on the high end of that would have been, what is that, 1600 something? But I never eat 1600 calories a day because I just, my experience shows me that that's way too, that's not going to lose weight at 1600 calories a day. That's more
Well,
like approaching them at my current
how much
level
did you
of,
say you weigh again? 157? Is that what you said?
well, 150. Right
150.
now, I'm about 152,
152.
151, 152.
Okay. Your movement is very low. If it wasn't for your movement, I'd be like, absolutely, somebody of 152 could lose weight on 16. Hang on, give me one second.
Oh, I know. I can't remember the high end because I never use
Well,
that.
152 times 12 is actually 1800, 1824.
And
And here's the
just,
thing.
and I know everybody says that, but I, at my current, what I'm doing right now, it wouldn't
And it
work.
comes down to that activity factor. Somebody who was 152 pounds losing at 1800 calories a day would be walking 12,000 steps, maybe getting in a little, maybe probably just at least walking 12,000 steps. And so that might be a little bit high for your current activity level, which is why I was saying, you know, we could up it some, and then you're going to be have room for more calories. Definitely, even at the activity level you're at now, I mean,
When I was tracking, so when I did my tracking, I laugh. I was tracking 1350 calories a day because I know if I track that I'm going to eat 1450 calories a day. I just know that. I'm not a perfect tracker. I'm not always great about that. It's sometimes I'm a little too much on the ish. So I just try and give myself that room.
Yeah, and I can see why. I can see where you're coming from with that. I will say this. I do think that when we're talking about getting as low as in the 1300s and 1400s, it is
It's
very
low.
challenging. It is very challenging, and I actually have to tell you, almost never ever do I give somebody a calorie count that low. Like
I
literally
know.
almost never
I
ever.
know. I know.
And when I see somebody who is like not successfully losing weight, one of the things I think of is it's likely because it's just so hard to hit those that you're going over. And so this is where, and people get like, oh, I raised my calories and I lost weight, so I was in starvation mode. And that's not what it is. What we would do
No.
is raise your calories in reality, we would raise your calories on paper or in the app, but in reality, we're going to end up lowering how many calories you're eating because we're going to get you more consistent with the calories that you're eating. I can see in
I
your
hear
face,
what
you're
you're
like, yep,
saying.
that makes sense. So frankly, I would love to see you never get into the 13s or 14s. I would love for you to stick with that 1500 to 1600 range and hit it very consistently. And without a doubt, you're going to lose weight. I mean, hitting 1500 to 1600 calories, because when you don't have a ton of weight left that you want to lose anyway. So we don't even need to go times goal weight. So we could go times current weight. And with your activity factor being a 10, you know, because we would go on the low side, since right now you're not very active, that's still hitting 1500 calories. Right. And so if we have that 1500 calories, that 10 for the activity factor, we are working on upping your daily steps. You're getting those bike rides in. Being between 1500 and 1600, I see, is a very reasonable number for you. And it's going to be a target that you're going to be able to way more consistently hit than 13 or 14.
I almost wouldn't have to count at all. If I just ate, I don't think I would have to do anything to hit 1500 or 1600 calories a day.
I mean, when you were doing, why did you decide to switch from, the Palm method to the calorie tracking because you weren't seeing progress?
I did, because I wasn't seeing progress anymore. I was for a long time. And then when I wasn't, like you said, I thought, well, my eyeballs are bigger than my palm or something, you know.
And here's the thing, reducing calories, I mean, if that's a better fit for you, another approach we could have is you go back to that method and we just shave some of those off. So, you know, if you were eating 2 palms of protein at every meal, we could go with, you know, 1.5 palms protein. If you were eating...
that's a good point. Yep.
If you were eating... 1 cup handful of carbs at 3 meals per day, we could go to 1 cup handful of carbs at 2 meals per day. So it's a way for us to still reduce calories without you, because you've said multiple times, you're like, I don't even really like tracking. And so if you're having a lot of resistance towards that, we could make it easier by going back to the hand method and just taking a little bit off. And where I would lean towards, like, we'd keep your vegetables the same. Protein, like I said, we could definitely go to 1.5 instead of 2, and then carbs and fats is where we would really adjust. And so if you were having a thumbful of fat at all 3 meals, maybe we take 1 thumbful of fat off and we take 1 handful of carbs off, and that could be enough to get you in that range again without even tracking.
That's something that I would probably like to try.
Yeah, I could see the wheels in your brain turning. You're like, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, because long stories. We don't have to go into all of it, but I don't have like a eating disorder, nothing like that. Thank you. But I have so much experience with it. It's like I said, I can, whenever you have those tests on your Instagram where you're like, I bet you don't have many calories as I do.
Yeah.
Because I just do. I can see what a portion is mostly. I can see that stuff. And when I start to weigh it, it gets in my head. And then it's like, I just don't want to live that life where everything that I eat that I have to go track. I can do it for short periods of time. And when I do it, I'm really good at it. But I don't want to live my life
that way. And I can see the look on your face that this feels like a better fit for you going back to that hand method. And then let's just make those small adjustments. We don't need to make wild adjustments, but if I'm understanding correctly, you were doing 2 palms of protein every meal, so going to 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing 1 thumb of fat every meal. Let's have you just take 1 thumb off. And let's have you take 1 cup handful of carb off. And so, and then stick with that for a minimum of 4 weeks and let's see what happens.
See what happens. Oh, totally. Yeah. If I do that and pull my... I didn't think that would be an option.
I thought
my prescription might, and like, it's not that much. It's not, and I'm not attached to the number. I'm between, it's like the clothes sizes and the pitching out the whole wardrobe. I'm like, come on.
Yes.
And it's legit weight that I feel like need is a strong word, but I do. I feel like I need to get there. So. Yes.
Well, it sounds like whether you need to or whether you want to, you're motivated to do it. Like it's a desire you have and there's no reason you can't.
For a short period of time, because the holidays are coming. We have vacation coming up. We're going to be out of town. It's going to be crazy in the holidays. And it's not that I'm not going to be in a deficit come Thanksgiving. We'll put it that way. That's not going to happen. So I have between now and Thanksgiving.
Wild if your goal on Thanksgiving was to be on a deficit. That would be wild.
No.
You know, I think giving some thought, and this goes for everyone listening, giving some thought ahead of time to your holiday season, one of the things that can really help us have more flexibility, cognitive flexibility about this season and actually help us lose weight in this season is not becoming so attached to the narrative of it's holidays, like I can't lose weight. But when we then pull ourselves back and look at an actual calendar and say like, okay, I'm going away for Thanksgiving for 6 days. And then, you know, the whole first week of December, I don't have anything. And then the next week, oh, I have that office party. That's going to definitely be like a higher day. Oh, and the next week I have these two things. And then, you know, I have the holiday weekend or whatever. And then when we look at it, we're like, wait, it was only 8 days out of 30 that I definitely couldn't be in a deficit. Well, so that still leaves us 22 other days.
22 other days, right? Right?
Or partial days. Because sometimes it's like, well, I definitely have this office party, but I could still eat my regular breakfast and I can still eat my regular lunch. And so when we can practice that amount of flexibility, we can get through the holiday season, definitely maintaining our weight, which for so many people is so a big win. I mean, we definitely see this played out in studies that we have this weight creep generally over the holidays. It's a couple of pounds every year. And that's how a lot of people end up overweight. It's because every holiday they gain 4 to 5 pounds. And so we can definitely help a person maintain their weight, if not lose weight, because, you know, you're still hitting enough days or meals where you are in a deficit. And so I would encourage you to give some thought, look at your calendar and get really clear with yourself and be like, these are the days I'm not even thinking about calories. It's Thanksgiving. I'm just not even thinking about it. These are the days where I have some certain meals that are going to be different, but I can keep things the same others. And that can really, like, for most people, when they look at it, they're like, what was I thinking that it was, you know, 6 weeks? It's 8 days.
It's 8 days. Well, and the other thing is for me, and I think you probably feel the same way, is when I do, even on holidays, even my oh screw it days are not like they used to be. They're just not, because I know there's some things that make me feel bad and there's some things I'm not going to eat just because it's not worth it. Yeah. I had that yesterday. We had an offsite at work and I had to go in the office and they had these box lunches. It has the cookie and the chips, right? And I took one bite of the cookie. I was not opposed to eating the cookie, you know? So I took a bite of the cookie. I'm like, this cookie was not made with butter. And this cookie is just like got that taste, that commercial kitchen taste to it. And I just am not eating this because it's not even worth it. I'd rather wait to go upstairs and have a Hershey's Kiss. And that's what I did. Wow. So it's I can't waste opportunities to eat on bad food.
Yeah, you know, when we can really, what that comes down to, Jen, what you just described is really being mindful of our preferences, mindful of our situations. Like situationally, we get our box lunch, we eat all the stuff, right? Whether it tastes good or not, like that's the food. But when we're actually bringing our attention to like, what is my experience with this food? What are my goals and how do they line up? And if we're like, wait, I'm trying to lose weight and I have this crappy cookie, like, why should I eat it? Just because it's there?
If it was
like
a good cookie, I would have ate it. You know,
and that's like this mindfulness piece. You know, like if you get like an amazing cookie, you might be like, oh, this feels really worth it. Like I value experiences that are delicious. And so like, I'm going to choose to have this cookie. And so really being mindful about all of those choices is really empowering and it can help us be successful.
Yeah, especially over the holidays for sure.
Yes.
It's been so great. Like I feel like I have two really concrete ideas that I didn't think of before, because you know I think I know everything, right? You know I do. I think I've been here and done this and I know everything. So sometimes it's like, hey, if you keep an open mind, girl. You know, I got two ideas I don't think I would have thought of.
And you just like it. You just described the power in coaching, and that is for everyone. Look, if I sat here on a call with somebody else who was coaching me, I would come up with revelations about my life too, even though this is what I do for a living and I can sit here and guide you for it. For my own life, like I have the blinders on, like I can't see the things. And so having somebody outside of you who can just ask you questions and look at things in a different way and maybe provide a little bit of insight here and there, but mostly it's just like talking and asking questions is so powerful. That's really the power of coaching, is having somebody outside of you who can shine a light on things that are going well, things that are, yeah, I mean, because the hand thing was really working for you and you would kind of abandon it and just like kind of shining that light on, oh, this could be a possibility is kind of like new things going on.
I know, it was new thing. I was like, oh, because it's like every time you run into a roadblock, it's like, you feel like there's something in you that's saying, well, just you were talking about it the other, just try harder, mm-hmm. you know, just do like get more strict or lock yeah. something else down. And it's just like, oh, it's just and such a mental for me. Answer. It's just such a, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that. So what am I willing to give up? And, you know, to get work, because let me just tell you, you, me, we're adorable. I'm adorable. I don't have any problem looking in the mirror, even at the weight that I'm at, and going, okay,
I love.
I got
that.
It going on, you know. I do, and so do we all. And I just, so it's not how I look. It really is just how I feel and my clothes and what I'm able to do, and you know, helps some of my back issues and some hip yes. things, and you know, it just all it helps things. All that stuff if I can be a little less, not little less, a little. Lighter. Yes. Yeah. Not less. Cause I'm not less.
Not going to be less. Going to be a little lighter. Mm. And you know, walking more might help with all that too. Like moving more and sitting less.
It can, although walking is more challenging than you would think when you have a few mechanical issues back there.
Well, Jen, it has been fantastic to talk with you today. I would love for you to keep in touch and tell me how these things are going. Remember to keep a wide lens on this stuff. Like we're talking like keep doing your weigh-ins and let's compare average weight from when you start this to at least 4 weeks. And then we can always tweak from there. But really that wide lens.
I thank you so much for your time. What a generous gift. This does. Oh. It feels like a gift. So thank you. Thanks, I appreciate Jen. It.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.